It's time to become a member of Playvolution HQ and Explorations Early Learning. There's a free option and three paid patron level options. All come with free stuff and ongoing automatic training and merch discounts. For as little as a dollar a month, you can become a patron. That supports our work and you get premium stuff like early access to fresh podcast episodes. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com/membership or click the link in this episode's description to learn more. All the cool listeners are doing it. On with the show. Along the Gulf Coast from suburbia, the wilds of suburbia, and PA, USA, we've got Carol Cole. How you doing, Carol?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm delightful, but something pissed me off the other day.
Oh, no.
We're out on a bike ride, and we went by a preschool, and there were two adult humans pushing, you know, those, I think one brand is bye-bye buggies. It's like those six kid strollers.
Oh, yeah.
That some programs have. These were blue, and they were filled, six in each, 3 and 4 year olds coming back from a walk, all able-bodied 4 year olds, because they were just parking in front of their building and all the kids were leaping out of the giant stroller. And so these adults just took these energetic, able-bodied children for a push around the neighborhood instead of taking them for a walk around the neighborhood. And I'm wondering, why the fuck not just take the kids on the walk? Any thoughts? Help me work my way through this.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a convenience issue for the adults. Although yeah. I will say, not to take away from your point, but I can remember when my oldest went to a childcare spot, because mm-hmm. I still worked full time. They would take those buggy rides. She called them buggy rides.
Sure.
And it was, I don't know, I think she's got a real future as a tour guide, because apparently she was the kid, you know, that would always like yell and point stuff out, and all the kids would be like, oh, you know, like, look over there, you know, which was, you know, I'm sure real interesting, because she was at that age where like the pronunciation of truck gets tricky, you know? You're pointing and yelling it, and she loved her buggy rides.
Did they give her some sort of PA system or something so she could entertain the other kids?
They really should have. But I don't. They just the one teacher one time did tell me that they weren't going to go, but she just loved to hear like her commentary of the trip.
Yeah, look, back in my center director days, we had one of those things that it was used for infants and toddlers. Today, I wouldn't do it, but back in the day, we did. I wouldn't put preschoolers in the thing.
I think she was two at the time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they need to move their bodies, and when we're always containerizing them, then they're not getting an opportunity to move their bodies. But that might be another episode. So let's talk about what's been going on, what's been happening. You started your drop-in play, mommies and daddies can come to pop-up play-y thing. It does have a name. Is there an official name? What are you calling this thing now?
It's usually referred to as the littles. Oh, we have the littles this morning, at least in my house. That's it's on the calendar as the littles. Which is funny, because some of the littles have siblings that will come, so it's not really just all littles. Like, you know, like I don't know how we came to that, but yeah, it's just kind of like the littles.
So you're what, 6-8 weeks into this now? Has it been that long, or maybe not?
No,
that long?
I don't think it's been that long. No, because we just started like what, the second weeks of October. So now it's only like 4-5 weeks.
You're a month into it. So how is it going? What have you been thinking?
Yeah, it's, I think it's been good. I think it gets a little bit stressful for me because I worry about like expectations still of people, which is funny because a big part I wanted the parents to stay so they understood why I was doing what I was doing and not have to worry about, like people who are looking for like that super structured, they don't even bother coming because it's just going to be an argument kind of deal. But I think for me, I'm in that in between space, having to get used to not having things exactly the way I would like them, and it's not perfect, so that aggravates me. Because I don't have the space I would like to, since it's in my house, and my house is not very large, and there are basically no sight lines in my house. So if you're in one room, you're not seeing into that next room. It's not going to happen. And how I would like to have like more things just out all the time, but that's not practical since, I share the house with my family and,
Yeah. It's got to be exhausting.
my husband, he pays all the bills, then he thinks he should be able to sit down in his own house. I mean, like, what the hell, buddy? But
Dudes, am I right?
it's like, come on. Although he does have some of the best ideas. Like, he's like, why don't you have him take the old pumpkins out the back and throw them off the top of the playscape and see what happens? I was like, all right, I'll let them know that's an option.
Oh, I
The
love
moms might
this
have all.
dude. Did they do that?
No, because we ended up having a lot of like sickness went through, like there's a lot of viruses or whatever going around up here. Not so much the dreaded one, but just normal sickness,
Just
imagine.
normal sickness.
Just normal sickness. How about that?
So
But I do still have.
the pumpkin carcasses all rotted before.
Oh yeah, like I was trying to save them, but I forgot to like spray the inside, so they got moldy. So that was an interesting discovery for my older kids. They're like, "Whoa,
You
that's gross."
spray the inside. What, huh? Tell me
Yeah,
about
like
this.
you spray or you put like Vaseline or something on the inside of the pumpkin to keep it
No, oh,
preserved.
I whoa, slow down. I did not know.
What are you doing with your pumpkins, Jeff? Just. Man, cool.
Making pie.
You don't leave them, just you don't cut holes in the front of them and just leave them to rot random places around your house.
You wait,
What are you doing
you can
wrong?
lube up the inside of a pumpkin and it lasts longer?
Yeah. But
Huh.
they tell you not to do Vaseline anymore because if a squirrel eats it, it'll die or something. So you can do like coconut oil and cinnamon, I think, on the inside of it. It'll preserve the pumpkin and not kill the squirrels. So, and I have no beef with the squirrel, so I guess, that's fine. But it's not how I would want my center to run. There's not as much freedom, which bothers me a lot. I do bring up a lot of the stuff that like the plasticky stuff that I had from my classroom that I wish I had other options, but I don't. So that's annoying for me. I don't think anyone else is annoyed by it. It's just me. But
Been going on for 4 or 5 weeks, and they keep coming back.
well, free will do that,
Oh, we settled on free.
well, if you stay, yeah. And a
Oh,
lot of the
okay.
moms
If
will
they
bring
drop
like
off.
snack to share,
Oh, well.
and then, like I just
Do
told them, if you could take your own kid to the bathroom, I'm not gonna charge you.
I mean that sounds good. In one of the emails you sent me, there was something about a rope swing.
Oh yes, he added just a rope to our. We have a back playscape that he designed and built. It's not as fancy as it sounds when I say that, but that's what it is. And apparently, he had left a space for one. I didn't know this. Like, I didn't look at it and say, "Oh, clearly that's where the rope swing goes." And I just one weekend he just wasn't in the house much. I didn't ask. He's allowed his free time. I try not to. But here he was putting a support beam in on the upper level of the playscape that the rope would hang off of. And like, I don't know why I didn't think of it before. And I don't know why I figured it would be, oh, it's something different, I'm sure, the novelty. But there's something about a rope swing with kids. Like, how did I not think of this before? Why does no one, kids, and like, especially with the, like, since I have their younger, like, we do, I try and incorporate things that they could choose to do, but for like gross motor and hand strength, like whole hand strength. Well, what better than a rope? Like, was one of those dumb. He always comes up with the best. It's annoying for how many hours I've put into researching and studying that he just like saunters in and gets it right all of the time. It's really very annoying, but I digress. But yeah.
Maybe I should be have him on as a co-host.
Probably
Maybe
that
I've got
would
the
be
wrong family
interesting.
member.
I know. We don't actually want her. That's would be the first time I heard that. It's fine.
So what kind of rope?
Oh, hemp rope.
Hemp rope. What kind of diameter you got on that rope?
Maybe like an inch and a half, 2 inch.
Oh, that's a
So it's
nice
like a it's
rope.
a beefier rope. I think he already had it. I don't know why. Again, I don't ask questions.
Well, look, I mean, sometimes dudes need to have a look. I've got it's
20
not
feet
near
of
me right
rope?
now because we're still, I mean, we're still homeless here at the beach, but in the storage room, and I've got a whole tote of rope, all kinds of different rope situations. Just rope I've picked up over the years. Any knots in the rope?
He put one knot at the bottom of the rope and left it at that. The kids had one of the moms add another knot. I said, they're like, no, it's too low. I need it higher. So somebody added like another knot to the top. His nephew was here the other day. His nephew had climbed to the top of the slide and then had someone hand him the rope, and he was and the neighborhood kids delighted in watching him swing out. And then he's very like physical comedy kind of kid. So like swing to the apex and let go and just let himself fall to the ground. Like that was a, I was like, his mother might have things to say, But he was fine, yeah. But like the little kids like would like love climbing it and just like the swinging, the upside down swinging, the what if I start it from over here and I swing? What if I push off the wall and I swing? There's always somebody on the rope now. We found out that our younger daughter has better grip strength than the older one. It's like, well, no kidding. She doesn't do a whole lot. The other one's out climbing stuff and what have you. But yet there's no age range for ropes. Everybody loves the rope. It seems to be like endless fun. Sometimes they just like throwing it and then entertainment, a rope.
I mean, it's yeah, and the throwing, just watching it swing back and forth, and watching the path it takes when you swing it in different directions. It's I mean, and really for young kids, that's a STEM activity. That's science, technology, engineering, and math. That exploring of materials like that. Ropes are delightful. And yet considered too dangerous, or that they take up too much space and all kinds of other things in a
No
lot of
space.
settings.
What in the world is a
Well,
rope?
you were just talking about jumping off of the going to the top of the slide and swinging. I mean, you got to
It's
have a
not that
swing
big of a
zone.
space. Trust me. I was uncomfortable with how much not big of a space it was when I was watching him do that. But hey, as long as you let go at the apex, you should be okay.
And hey, early learning people out there listening to this podcast, if you don't have a place outside for rope swing, you can totally put one up inside. And some programs do. Now, don't just tie it to the grid of your suspended ceiling. You want that sucker well anchored. But inside swings is the thing that some people get engaged in. I've got on the PlayVolution HQ site, I published probably by the time this episode airs, I've been doing some play space critiques, and I've got a post coming up about swings, a couple posts coming up about swings, and I also just put together a couple handouts about different types of grip. I didn't know we're going to be talking about hand grip
Oh,
today. That might have to
wow.
be a whole episode sometime. But that's a really thing because grip strength is a thing. And pediatric occupational therapists today will tell you that kids back in the 80s had much better grip strength than kids do today, and kids back in the 50s had much better grip strength than kids in the 80s. And so we seem to be losing our grip,
Yeah.
which which it's in so many ways, and rope swings are a great way to help counteract that. So that's like a great addition. What are some of the parents of your program kids think about the rope swing? Were they like, or were they cool with it right away?
They were like, oh, cool.
Sweet. Well, you did a good job of picking, right?
Oh yeah. Like if you have a problem with a rope swing and you're coming here, oh dear.
Well, that's great. And then you had some thoughts about clay and Play-Doh.
Yeah. So along the same lines of like the whole grip strength thing and hand strength, you know, one of the little guys I noticed when he's at that age where it's still appropriate, you know, where he was full fisting, making marks, like with his whole fist. And it's like, he's four. So it's not, you know, he's not like 12 doing it. Sorry, I'm not like, oh no. But I had noticed at one point we switched, he started to paint with watercolors and he held his paintbrush, like more of a, like a four finger grip, like more quote unquote appropriately. So, and I'm watching, I'm like, I don't think he has the hand strength, you know, to hold whatever, like a pencil. And I'm not correcting him, you know, I'm just making my observation and trying to add things in to support strength. You know, and in that, I remember that our homeschool group, we last year in the spring, we had done seed pods. Like apparently there's this company and I didn't do it, so I don't remember. Well, they will send you natural clay and seeds and you put them in the, like make seed balls with the clay and the seeds. And then you can just like throw them in people's yards and make them mad. And the wildflowers will sprout up from there. But I remembered that the natural.
Is that what they say? They say that on their website? Throw these in your neighbor's yard. Make them mad.
Yeah. I just threw them.
Want wildflowers in your neighbor's yard?
Want your neighbors asking questions? Rotten homeschoolers. I hate them. And we don't have a bad enough rap. But anyway. But I remember it being more interesting to work with. It was harder to work with in Play-Doh. You know, because Play-Doh is, you know, and I often have Play-Doh out. And I let kids draw on Play-Doh, which is a big tool. They love drawing on the Play-Doh. But I'm like, I wish I could have something that has him working a little more. Like, same muscles, just more resistance. It was like, oh, well, let me get some natural clay. And it does have like different properties to it. I remember being on with Tamar and her saying that she worked under somebody who only allowed natural clay.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, I was like, oh, that's, I thought maybe it was just like, you know, kind of like a hippie thing, like natural only, man. But and I was
dig
like,
it,
oh,
dude.
No. Yeah, I can dig it. But it does have its own, much of its own property, especially if you have it long enough and you have to add like water and stuff, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. I haven't got that far. I'm pricing it out right now. But I was like, oh, like natural clay, I think it's like a step up almost from Play-Doh because you really do have to work it differently. It does take more strength.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think a lot of times, like we know that like working with the Play-Doh and rolling it out and stabbing it and cutting it and doing whatever it is helps, but it is usually very soft. So, but to move on to fine motor, a lot of times I think those muscles aren't ready yet. So I was like, oh, natural clay is pretty cool. Because I bet if we added a lot more water to it, then it would be like a whole different experience.
Yeah,
it
turns into a whole different beast.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that to Play-Doh. I've done that to Play-Doh. I wouldn't recommend.
Well, the Play-Doh doesn't snap back as quickly as clay does.
Yeah, and the kids just go, oh, and just leave it and walk away.
Yeah. I'm done with this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so what's the deal? Why has Play-Doh become such a big thing in the classroom? Is that big Play-Doh kind of pushing clay out of the way because the Play-Doh dries out and then you got to replace it and the clay dries out. You rehydrate it and then it's good again. So,
yeah, I don't. Is it? Well, I guess it wouldn't be cheaper because you can reuse the natural. Like, I was like, I don't know how Play-Doh came to be, I guess.
It's brightly colored, I guess, and it's...
Not the one I got all the white. Like, Listen.
Oh, I was talking about the store-bought stuff. Yeah, but
Oh yeah, the
yeah,
store-bought
you
stuff
can't
thing.
you wait, you can't spring for 6 drops of blue food coloring to make some colored Play-Doh.
Well, not everybody wants the same color. And this is from like my classroom days. I actually just asked them. I was like, "Hey, when I make Play-Doh from now on, y'all want me to like pick a color and make it one color? You want me just to make white and you guys can just use your markers?" And they're like, "Oh, leave it white." Like that was absolutely a kid decision. They were like, "Oh,
Cool.
leave it white." They listen, folks, if you have not tried white Play-Doh and giving them markers to either color it completely on their own or just draw on whatever, I highly recommend.
Sweet, that's a good idea. If you looking for Play-Doh recipes, head over to the Playvolution HQ website. I think we got Lisa Murphy's Play-Doh recipe up there from one of her ooey gooey books. We've got another slow cooker Play-Doh recipe. If you can't do the cooking with the kids, you can make Play-Doh in the slow cooker and have that plugged into the classroom. I think there's even like a 2 or 3 ingredient Play-Doh recipe over there. That's a good one too. So lots of
Yeah.
Play-Doh stuff over there. Got no clay stuff. Maybe I'll have to work on
Got
clay
some
stuff.
clay stuff. It's a little pricey, I will admit.
Yeah.
When you're working with the tuition being free, I don't have like a
Yeah,
big
well,
I
yeah,
don't
when
have a big
you're not a lot of
what'd you do?
income coming from the
You know,
free
the
yeah.
one paying kid. I'm like, well, maybe that's a, you know, when I get paid again, I'll just buy a whole bunch of natural clay. My husband will be like, what in the world?
So you're becoming a fan, more of a fan of the natural stuff than the Play-Doh, huh?
Yeah, well, now the natural stuff I had was Crayola brand this last time, but it said it was natural. But it wasn't quite the same as the stuff that we had from that seed thing, because I, of course, took home the extra, and then all the neighborhood kids played with it. The one kid made a sword, which I thought sounded like, I don't know
Play-Doh
where you were
sword.
going with that. Oh, yeah, like it was a natural clay sword. Then it dried, and he went to pick it up so he could hit someone, and it just broke, and he
It
was
didn't
like,
work.
oh.
I got a challenge for you. You've got a 4-wheel drive adventure husband, it sounds like. Why don't you tell him you need some natural sourced real clay? Because you got to have like rivers and streams and stuff around you someplace. So there's got to be someplace he could get on the internet. He could find a place that he could go dig up real clay for you.
Yeah, I think I have a feeling that there's some. His sister has quite a bit of property, and I have a feeling that there's some there that he had found taking rocks out of the creek for his
Sure.
outdoor fireplaces. He gets more ridiculous the more I talk about him. I'm like, what?
No, he gets more cool the more you
He's
talk
he
about
really
him.
is fantastic, but I bet he would just. And if I said so, I don't have to buy any. Oh, he would go.
Yeah,
He would
right.
absolutely go and search.
He has to go buy, he has to go buy like an ATV so he can get to the stuff and
They
cart it
have
out of the
one. He could just
wilds. But oh,
borrow
well,
it.
there he's set.
He really is set, yeah. But I just
That
would like I would like
that's
them
the
to be
way you
able
do
to
it.
add more with water and stuff too, because we didn't touch a lot on that the last time. They just kind of
Yeah.
had it as it was. So that'll be my next thing. Right now there's a lot of magnets out because that's what they seem to be into. But I
Cool,
think
cool.
for the next thing.
So you've been going for a month or so now. Have they settled into any kind of routine or rhythm that you're kind of getting into? I mean, if it's been the same kids on the schedule and they're kind of, are they settling into things or is it something different every day or what's
That's
going
my, I
on
think
there?
that's my favorite part is because the kids are settling in, but everybody has their own routine. Like nobody's routine is the same as the next person. Like I have my one little guy, the one that gets dropped off. Like when he comes in, he likes to read a story right out of the gate. Like that's how he gets into his day. He goes in, he picks the book, and I like kind of. I have like my bookshelf downstairs, but I have another bookshelf that I put out specifically for them. And then I will put like books out that either I heard them, it's like in the beginning. So in the beginning, it was like a mix of books that I thought they had probably seen before and some Halloween books. You know, it's that's about as themey as I get. And even that kind of ekes me out sometimes. But like he comes in, he picks his book for the week and he wants to read his book first. And then he will move on to doing other things. And what and this is it's nice too because to have so many parents around, it doesn't have to be me reading the book. I have another little guy who I've noticed that he'll come in and kind of like look around first. He might do a little bit of this. Somewhere in the middle, I usually find him either because in my living room is where I have set up like my coffee tables, all like stuff for mark making and like paper and all that stuff. And the books are in there, and I have like, you know, the nice lighting and all the comfy seating everywhere. So usually like halfway through our time together, I'll find him either looking at a book on his own, like so cute, like just laying on the couch, you know, legs crossed, looking through a book himself, or he might ask his mom or whoever's in there. A lot of times my kids will be in that area. And if somebody wants to hear a book, like my kids will just step in and read to them. And then one of the little girls, the sister of the little guy, like halfway through, like that's how she likes to end her day, with a book. Like when we're done, snack is run. There is no snack time, really. Like, oh, do you want a snack? Here's what we have for snack. You know, and usually if like one person is eating snack, the rest of them will come, and like it's like sporadic snack time, sometimes early, sometimes later. But like they each usually revolves around like when they want to read their book, which I laugh. I'm like, we talk about circle time because like, well, when else will we get a book in? Turns out, if you just have books out for kids,
The
they
kids who
will
are
go
interested in
over.
books will
Yeah.
engage with books.
You know, and if one, and a lot of times it'll happen like one kid's reading a book. Sometimes the other kids will come over and sometimes they won't. It depends on the book being read, you know, like, oh, wait, I want to hear that book, you know. And then they're all talking about the book. I'm like, look at this. We don't have to have circle time. It just happens. You know, and I have some kids like one little girl, like she spends most of her time at the sensory bin. And that is fine because I have a water table in my house, which I had before this whole thing. That was a Christmas present to my kids last year, which my husband thought was weird, but now he understands. Because if I'm like, listen, if I have to move one more under the bed box full of Orbeez off of my kitchen table, I'm gonna kill someone. So can we please
Just have a
get this
water table.
thing? So we got a water table. But like she'll spend most of her time over there. And then sometimes back, usually I have like the messier stuff in the kitchen, like art stuff. So then she'll go back and forth there. But it's just kind of nice. And so there's a lot of, we're still in that space where they're not real familiar with one another. And it just so happens that a lot of the kids aren't super outgoing. Like I somehow gathered like the more reserved observing kids, which is interesting. Except for the littles. The little ones, I have two that are not quite two yet. They are both living their best life every time they come. They are like double fist pumping, excited. Like, they're like in everybody else's business. Like, what are you doing? You know,
That's great.
the one delights in taking cups full of, I had like rice in the water table and just dumping them on his mother and watch her have a panic attack. Like, that's fun. But I've noticed like a lot, like there's more parallel play going on now. Like they're not 100% engaging, but like in the first couple weeks, they would just come by like another kid and do whatever it is they were doing. And now they're like kind of doing like the same things. Like the things they're playing are related, but we're still not talking to one another. We're not coordinating
Hey,
yet.
I don't know you, but that thing you're doing looks interesting, so I'm gonna do it over here.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it right here, but a little different. Like we've got a lot of that, but it's, you know, we're kind of, it's just funny. Like they're getting more comfortable and they each have their own rhythms, which I mean, 4 years ago, that would have given me a panic attack. Like, well, how can that possibly work if each kid is on their own, marching to the beat of their own drum? Or how can that possibly work? You know, like how, what happens if somebody wants to play outside and somebody else is playing inside? Well, as it turns out, one could be like, I want to go outside. And I'll be like, all right, does anybody want to go outside? Yeah. And everybody just goes outside. Like it's a non-issue.
And it's such a different feel and flow to if they all showed up and it was time to do a pie-based activity that
Here is your
you
felt pie.
planned ahead of time. They're all doing their own thing on, and I like the idea of that rhythm that you bring up. It's their own thing. The beginning, the kid who wants the book at the beginning of the day, the kid who is interested in the book at the end of the day, they're doing their own thing on their own time frame, and they go deeper into it that way. And they get a lot more out of it that way because they have power and control over it, which kids who are forced into adult curriculums, adult themes, adult plans don't always have. Now, look, at some point we need to learn how to conform and go with the flow and listen to the man to some extent to get through in life. But really in early learning, letting them kind of have their lead is a valuable way to do things.
Yeah, and I think it's the fact that they are allowed to pick what they're doing at any
Yeah.
given point. That so when that one kid does want to go outside, even if, the girl at the sensory bin, she was kind of doing something, but she's like, "Well, all right, if we're going outside, I'll go outside now."
Yeah,
Because she
I could
knows
be out.
when we come back in, she can go right back to it if she
The
likes.
sensory bin's still going to be there.
Yeah, it's still going to be there. I'm not closing it, It's not anything like that. Like you can just do it. It's fine. Like it'll be here when you come back. You can join them now and then go back to what you were doing before, and it's perfectly fine.
And that's another thing in programs where the shaving cream or the sensory bin or the water table are only out for a very limited amount of time. You create panic in kids. I've got to do this now, or I'm not going to get a chance later. When that stuff is always available or easily available, if it can't always be available because there's a limited space and everything, then kids are a lot more chill with being able to go with the flow and change things up. Because if the easels or the water table only come out once every 6 weeks, there's going to be a lot of anxiety and panic around them. If they're always out, or they can or kids know that they if they need them, they can ask for them and get them, then that anxiety, that pressure to do this thing right now and otherwise I'm going to lose my chance goes away.
Yeah, it's like nobody's on a time crunch, and that's
Yeah.
why like I personally chose to do it 2 days back to back, so it's Monday and Tuesday, that I didn't want to split it up like Monday and Wednesday or whatever, because I wanted them to feel secure in what was there and knowing that it's going to be there the next day too.
Yeah.
So even like, because it's only what, like 2.5 hours we're together, like. Sometimes you find your favorite thing in that last 15 minutes. And then it's like, and even if it was like a Tuesday and they're like, "Oh, but I'm like, if they wanted it out to continue, I would leave it out for the next week." Which has been interesting for me because I think, all of my pre-K experience before this had been in a center where it is themes and you have to switch out themes and you are expected to have different things out every day, which is so completely ridiculous. Like they don't have time, to really get into it. And it's like I have like PTSD with themes. When I like in observing the kids the past couple of weeks, they love anything that magnet that's on the fridge. I have like matchbox cars that my husband glued like the really good like little strong magnets to on the bottom. So those are our like magnets on the refrigerator. And like they love these cars, like just the magnets. And then like they're walking around the house touching the other things. And then the
What
one kid who doesn't
kind of glue did he use?
epoxy, I believe.
Hey, look, listeners, this happened before. I get man crushes every once in a while. I think I've got a man crush on Carol's husband. It's not going to go any further than that, but there's some great intuitive early learning dudes out there, and from everything I've heard, he seems to be one of them, and that's awesome. I
Yeah,
think
oh.
that's cool.
It's a different on a different day. I'll have to tell you about him in the constructing and deconstructing play. The man delivered like a thesis in like 45 seconds to me. I'm like, are you kidding right now? It was like totally out of left field too. But anyway,
Tell me how are the parents settling in? Are there any rhythms and routines that they're settling into?
yeah, I think so. One of my moms is, she's very like-minded, and she wanted, like, she basically came to give her kids space and to visit with other adults. Like
Sure.
that was her, like her goal. So I love watching the parents talk to the other kids. Like that turns out to be one of my favorite parts. Like I was concerned, I'm like, oh, but there's as many adults and they're supposed to be here with kids. But watching them talk to the other parents is like hilarious. It's heartwarming. Like all of the moms are like, they'll talk to any of the kids. The kids will now come up and talk to any of them. Like, Some of them are like, they're okay. Like some people in the beginning, I could tell were like a little bit nervous when their kid was out of eyesight, but you know, now I'm like, it's all right. Like I'm not gonna be upset that they touched this and they shouldn't have. Like if I didn't want them touching it, it's not out. Okay, that's just the way of it. And they're like, okay, you know, okay. When they're here, we talk, and granted, like most of the people who come are homeschoolers. So I'll talk a lot about like, oh, I thought this would be good for this. You know what I mean? I noticed that they were interested in this, so this will help this. Because a lot of homeschooler parents have, they're worried they're going to miss something. And it's almost like, listen, you don't have to worry that much because it's very rare that your kid will miss something. Like they're going to find all these skills. Like if, look at them wandering around, look at them go. You know, like you don't have to say
We
it's
are
story time. They'll make their own story time.
we are wired to kind of build the skills we need to survive and thrive in the world with if we're put into some sort of safe and secure environment where that can happen. I think that's great, and I think you're really starting to build a community with this group, not only amongst the kids, but amongst the parents. And that's kind of what we as a society kind of need, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think, I mean, for me, coming from, you know, being like, you know, certified teacher, like getting my degree, all the whole nine yards or whatever, coming out on the other side, like when I first started even like the homeschool journey, I thought, okay, well, I can do this at home. And then it became, but why would I want to do this at home? And then it, you know, and it's like, well, I want to teach other people about, you know, what is possible, but you know, and I was just thinking about this on the way back after having a conversation with another mom on the way back from our field trip today. It's like, I don't want to teach anybody anything. Like, I think that's the problem. I think we need to do more supporting each other, like where they're at. Like, mom's like, I don't know. Like, I'm so worried about this. And I'm like, well, you're doing this. Like, just keep doing that. Like, this is where they learn about this. Oh, well, is that enough? Yes, that is enough. And they will show you. You'll notice that they're ready to branch out to something more. Then you can introduce things. Just don't have high expectations for it because that'll kill it real quick. But, you know, it's just like supporting other people. I think for somebody who spent so much time to become a teacher, like I'm finding myself in this spot, like that's not actually what the world needs. We don't really need more teachers. We need more supporters, I think.
I like that. I think you're building a beautiful thing. Before we wrap up, though, look, for the last couple of months, I've been nagging you, bullying you to let your girls do the grocery shopping. You mentioned that, like listeners, if you would need a recap, a couple of months ago, Kara was in the grocery store with the kids. Let's see if I get this right. Started talking to an acquaintance. The girls were kind of in a hurry. They took the list and took off with the cart and went and loaded up the cart with most of the stuff because you are wasting their time just standing there talking. And I suggested, why not just give them the list and let them do the shopping? And we've bantered back and forth about this for a couple episodes now. You said there's been a development, and then you left me hanging in an email about 2 weeks ago. So what's the development been?
Most anticlimactic development of all. Well, because I talked to my husband and he's like, well, yeah, why couldn't they? I'm like, well, someone's gonna say something, and he's like, and what? Like that's he's
Okay, look, the man crush just got bigger.
yeah, he I
Look, tell if he gets something from me for Valentine's Day, don't think it's weird, okay? I mean,
know what it is, you won't care. But I was like, okay, maybe I am being a little about this. So I proposed it to the older one first because she has to be on board because I'm afraid what the smaller one's gonna buy. Like that's a whole nother list of, oh dear, with the younger one. You know, that's the one with the red lipstick, the hooker red lipstick. Yeah, I don't want to send her shopping on her own. Thank you very much. But you know, I went to my older daughter and I was just like, okay, well. You know, there's this thought, and Daddy thought that it might work out okay. Would you guys be interested in just, you know, I'll wait in at the front of the store, you know, I'll meet you up at the register. If you guys just wanted to try and just do the whole grocery shopping list one day, you know, just all by yourself. She's like, without you? And I said, yeah. She's like, I'm not doing that. I was like,
Well,
oh.
there it goes.
I was like, oh, are you nervous? She goes, no. Two kids grocery shopping together with no adult. She goes, everyone in that store is gonna want to talk to me. And I she's like, I am not talking to these people. She's like, that is just asking for conversation, and I am not willing. It's like, well, that doesn't look good for the homeschoolers or antisocial sentiment. Like, that's a win for those guys. She goes, no, because half the people are going to be mad about it, and the other half are going to be so interested they're going to want to talk to me about it, and I don't want to talk about it. I just want a grocery shop. Was like,
Fair.
oh,
I mean, those are great points.
that's a fair point. So I was like, oh, well, that's done. But she did say something. I forget how it came up, but the other day, oh, I think her sister said she was like curious about school because like a lot of her friends go to school. And she goes, it sounds terrible, but I'm kind of curious. And my older daughter said, she goes, I would rather do the grocery shopping for the house every day by myself for the rest of my life than go back to school again. Like, okay. Well, at least now we have like a
We know where you're at it.
I
And I
know
think that,
where I'm
and I mean, that's a great place to let it drop. I'm cool with that. I'll quit bullying you about it now.
Yeah.
You
I was
talked to
like,
her about it. She said,
fair enough.
not gonna work. And like 6 months from now, she might be, hey, I want to give that a try.
Yeah.
And that'd be cool. But I think you just go ahead and have that conversation with her. That's a great thing, because they gave her, and we talk about this on the show a lot, about giving kids power and control. She had the power and control to say, yeah, I don't think that's a good idea, and here's
Yeah.
why. And her
Yeah.
explanations make perfect sense.
Yeah, and it was weird because that was not what I was expecting. Like, that wasn't in my will. And I have, that's something that I have been trying to remind myself of more lately. Like, I don't have to have all of the ideas. Like, I'm the kind of person that has to think of every scenario in their head. Again, why 12 hours by myself is not going to go well. So, Mike, I have to account for all situations. Like, I have to think of everything because I have to think of everyone. And you know, how might this go, and what might, and they're constantly having imagine, you know, a take on it that I didn't cross my mind.
Yeah.
I think that I was like, oh, well, why do I spend so much time, you know, killing myself or thinking about all these possibilities? I could have just asked her, and she'd have been like, no, I don't want to talk to people. Oh, well, you know what? Fair enough. Fair enough.
Makes great sense. And to harken back to the last two episodes we did together, all of our part pie talk, that ties into that too. If kids voice an interest in pie, by all means, make pie an option
Yeah, like do
in
it.
your setting. But if you don't get any input from the little humans in your program or in your lives about what they're needing or what they're wanting or what they're interested in, you're going to make all kinds of misjudgments when you're trying to set up an environment for them. The best thing we can do is to have their input and give them power and control over things, and be part of the let them be deciders in what's going on and part of that process, within keeping everybody healthy and safe.
Safe, yeah. Say, don't say happy because that's not going to happen.
If you can manage healthy and safe, you're doing pretty good. You can't
Yeah,
make everybody happy. That's
that's
great. Any other thoughts before we wrap this one up?
no.
Well,
I tried to search for
I'm
one really quick, but I couldn't find one.
I hope listeners are enjoying the development of this program, and watching the progress, and checking in as much as I am, because I think it's fascinating to see what you're growing out of basically this idea of, hey, why don't you guys come over to the house and play? Which is basically what it was.
Maybe that's my takeaway thought. It's like, you know what? Just think about what you can do right now.
Sure.
Because I mean, what
Sure.
I'm doing right now is not absolutely what I like. It's not, oh, this is what I wanted to do. It's not anything that I wanted to do, but it's what I can do right now.
Yeah. Listeners, what I want you to do is call 228-363-3663. 877-377. Leave us a voicemail. It can be about anything. It can be about your love of pie. It can be about you, your hatred of us making fun of things that are on the internet. It can be requests for cocktail recipes or relationship advice or playlists for your 80s dance party you're planning for next month. I don't know what it's about, but look, we need your help creating content for this show. It's hard pumping out all these episodes. We need your feedback. All we'll do is take your voice and edit it into the episode, which will be delightful. You don't have to use your real name.
We might prefer made-up names.
Look, the voicemail is totally going to tell me where the call is coming from. We're not going to call anybody out. We'll maintain your privacy. It'll be fun. Give us a call. The link is in your show notes. This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Tip your wait staff. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that cocktail is a little bit strong.
When did you get a voicemail? Like, this is the most amusing thing I've heard in a long time.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.